This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. The Buffalo Bills are finalizing a trade to send the four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second-round pick, a 2024 sixth-round pick, and a 2025 fifth-round pick. The Texans acquired that pick from the Vikings when they traded their 2024 first-round pick to Minnesota last month. Well, we'd been hearing about it for what? Over a year? Two years. That Diggs and Josh Allen just... Was that it? Was it those two?
I think, yeah, just the relationship just never felt okay. And then they would try to, oh, no, they did a handshake at practice, so they're fine. And
what was Diggs' deal? What was his deal?
I don't know. It never felt like it was a I'm not getting enough targets type of thing.
Gee, he got double what Gabe Davis got last year. 160 targets. Gabe Davis had 80.
It may have been more game-by-game situation, like in a playoff game, you didn't target me when I was open or stuff.
Yeah, well, here's the interesting side for Houston. We'll get into Buffalo in a minute. Houston has guys, man. They were a playoff team. It wasn't just C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's a great story. So was D'Amico Ryans. They had some, like, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, some good receivers, some good players, right? Are they upsetting the apple cart if they bring in Stephon Diggs? Talented, one of the tops, right? But he needs his targets.
He needs his targets. It's a risk because you like what Houston was doing as this all, we're all in this together type of rebuild, and maybe they overachieve. We'll find out this year where they're at for real. But if it was bad enough to get out of Buffalo, then maybe Stephon just needed a change of pace, new environment.
Like, is Josh Allen, I mean, again, the targets thing to me, whatever, but is Josh Allen hard to get along with? I can't imagine that dude's hard to get along with.
Maybe.
I don't see it. I don't see it, man. And Sean McDermott, is he hard? I mean, is he hard to get along with? He had some weird stuff he said a few years ago that came out.
He's not difficult to not follow in terms of motivational speeches.
Is this Diggs saying, hey, the Bills, it's the frustration, too, with whatever was building there, but also like, hey, this team missed their window. Houston's trying to go open one.
No, I mean, you go back to that Chiefs game that everyone talks about with the Chiefs and the Bills, and the Chiefs are on the field celebrating, and there's that picture of Stephon Diggs just standing there with his hands on his hips, like, I'll be back next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back next year.
Yeah.
I'll be back next year. Yeah, we'll be back next year. No, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, it's just not a good situation there in Buffalo.
That year, you've been picked to win MVPs or Super Bowls.
Sure.
You've won your division 4 years in a row in the absence of the aftermath of Tom Brady in New England. You've kind of run your division, and nothing's really come out of it.
So now what does Buffalo do? Is the window now, like, Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville, right? They had to know Diggs was gone. They had to know they were going to trade him at some point because that wasn't getting any better. Sanford texting in saying Buffalo, toxic environment. McDermott is a control freak. Listen, I could see that.
You know what they should do? Surrender.
So, Buffalo?
Yes.
Oh.
Just be done.
Yeah.
You're done.
You're never going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, just why keep trying?
You got close four times in a row, and then the Chiefs year, when the Chiefs beat them in the crazy overtime, that was a good Bills team.
Well, their magic number is four.
That's it.
Four failures, restart for another 10, 15.
That's the curse, man. That's a curse that just follows you forever. I want to get into more of that, too, what it means for Buffalo, what it means for Houston. All the more reason I do think the Broncos should push hard to get that quarterback. If they get a sense at all that, like Sanford was saying earlier, that Michael Penix Jr. is not there at 12 and they want him or whoever, go get him. Because Houston transformed. It wasn't, I mean, again, they thought Deshaun Watson was going to do that for him, and then Deshaun Watson, you know, really needed the massages and stuff. And then that looked like that organization was going to be in hell for a very long time. They got their coach, they got their quarterback.
The first year with Deshaun?
Yeah, and they were good. Like, that was a team.
That was like an 8-game win streak that they ended their season on to get in.
Yep, sure. But, you know.
I don't think you're going to repeat anything like that with Stroud and Ryans, but.
Maybe.
You know, sophomore slump is a thing.
And that will be the interesting test for Houston, because did they overachieve? Does the Stephon Diggs move put them in a spot where they feel like, hey, we got all the confidence now, we're feeling good. We were a playoff team. Nobody expected crap from us. Now we just gave our boy another weapon here. So we'll see if it works out with Diggs. I mean, he was over 1,000 yards receiving, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Over 100 catches.
Yep.
I think he had 9 or 10 touchdowns, something like that. Big look at the ratings. Did you see this, Angel? Iowa LSU's average 12.3 million viewers. 12.3 million viewers for that game. Well, I knew it had to be high because what was it, 9 million for Iowa and CU a couple of days before that? So you knew this was going to light it up. I'm impressed to CU. If that would have been a better game throughout, I think they might have got up there pretty high. Caitlin Clark's must-see television, folks.
She is, and you know the rivalry that was created with the narratives and the Kim Mulkey stuff and Angel Reese. There's a lot of personalities and stories going on into this game, and it's not an excuse, but no other real big events were going on that Monday night, so it was the main attraction.
Everyone's
going to watch it.
Yeah, well, and listen, that and I get that, I understand that, but there's a lot of times where people are just like, it might be the main attraction, but it's not. It's not the main attraction.
Sure.
There's no sports on. I'll just go find something else to do.
I mean, I watched giant monkey lizard fights.
In fairness, you had that planned. I'm giving you the out on that. You had that planned. You can't back out on that, no. Man.
Ooh. I mean, that might have been just as good of a fight as LSU Iowa.
Check this out. I've been stalking Mike Sanford since we had him on today. He tweeted this out. Iowa. It's from Front Office Sports. Iowa LSU's average 12.3 million viewers are more than, get this, every women's college basketball game ever. Obviously, we knew that one. Every ESPN college basketball game ever. Every ESPN college basketball game ever. I just had to repeat that. Every MLB game last season.
Two teams in baseball.
Dude, I'm telling you, episode 4, season 6 of Everybody Loves Raymond has better ratings than every MLB game last season. Every NHL game last season. Every MLS game last season. Every NBA game last season except for one. Curious to know what that one was.
Denver in Philly.
Was that it?
Probably.
It might have been. You might be it. It might be it. Every college football regular season game last season, except for one.
Probably Texas-Bama would have been that number one.
Maybe.
Or CU-CSU.
Ooh, yeah.
That one got a lot of ratings.
Yeah, that did. And it was a hell of a game. That is phenomenal to me. And again, this shows you the power of the... Obviously, you have the athletic ability. You have the superstars. You have the superstar coach and the suits. And Angel Reese is a controversial player. She just is. I mean, love her or hate her, and I talked about this yesterday. She gets, it's whether it's unfair, fair, whatever, she gets talked about. But that's the perfect mix, man. That's what makes this thing beautiful, and I went on that yesterday. You can't just have talent. You got to take advantage of that talent. You have to put that talent out there to the world. You have to market them, promote them. So whoever their NIL people there are at Iowa, steer them in the right directions. Get them on State Farm commercials. Do all of that. Everything that Caitlin Clark's been doing. Mulkey being all over my social media feed when I didn't even know I needed it. Now I need it. I can't stand Mulkey, but I love listening to her. She just has a way about her. She reminds me of a character in a TV show, like a coach in a TV show. I'm wildly entertained by that stuff, and I think a lot of people are. They like to talk about it. The fact that we're arguing about calls in that game, that we're arguing about, oh, Angel Reese is coming out after the fact saying this and this and this. You're talking about it. That's huge. So, big-time ratings there. How about this one? The A's are talking lease offer with Oakland. Sacramento meeting on tap. Did Vegas say no, Angel? Did they say, you know what? Wayne Newton, yes. Oakland A's, no. We're good. Representatives of the Athletics ownership met with officials from Oakland and Alameda County on Tuesday to discuss the city's most recent offer to keep the Las Vegas-bound team in the Coliseum at least through the 2027 season. Again, this is according to ESPN senior writer Tim Keown. What does that mean? Does that just mean they're delaying the inevitable?
That's what it sounds like. From what I understand, the A's want is a new stadium. And it's like Vegas will offer that. Oakland's like, hey, we just want to keep you because we love you.
Well, we want a baseball team.
Yeah, we want a baseball. You know, we're not L.A. We're not San Francisco. So we want to have – we're not Anaheim, I guess.
We're losing all of our teams.
Right.
So
I could see that, but Vegas also did close down a hotel, which I guess is supposed to be where the stadium's going to be built.
So they're going to close it down, tear it down?
I believe so. The Tropicana.
Okay. So that's got to mean they're getting serious over there. Even though the mayor of Vegas town.
I mean, they could build the stadium and then no one shows up for it. It's like, hey, we built the stadium, but we don't have a team.
Well, then they'll work on finding a team that rhymes with hockeys.
Smockies.
Dick would move the team before he'd sell it. I guarantee it.
I'd probably prefer that. I don't want them together anymore. I want them to break up.
I know.
Please.
It's just, did you watch last night? It was awful.
Do you think I watched any Rockies baseball last night?
No.
No.
What did you do?
I checked the scores periodically.
I was trying to think. I was like, why should I know what you were doing?
No.
Well, I was just trying to watch
doing
something.
Anything else.
I'm trying to watch something. My kid has started to like seeing baseball on the screen.
Oh, boy. Pick any other team.
I know. But he likes basketball. He does enjoy seeing basketball, specifically college basketball. NBA, he's like, Dad, I know this is where your heart and soul is, but please, Winnie the Pooh, please, okay? And I'm like, I mean, they can only lose Christopher Robin so many damn times, man.
But
I mean,
Heffalumps,
they got to do something else. Every movie of Winnie the Pooh is the same premise. They think Christopher Robin's there, then he goes to freaking school, and then it's, he's not there, he's at school, but Winnie the Pooh forgot that or something. So then they go to Owl, and Owl's like, oh man, the note says that he got kidnapped by the thing. And then the whole episode is like, we gotta find him, bro. And so they all come together, and they're looking for, and then at the end, they find Christopher Robin, and he's like, no, I wrote that I went to school. And anyway, it's like, how many of these can we make?
Read?
No, Pooh can't read.
Okay.
He struggles. He struggles with words. Owl can kind of read. Rabbit, a little iffy. Tigger, for sure. He ain't got time for that. He ain't got time to read.
Double letters and everything.
Yeah. And Eeyore just doesn't give. He gives no you know what. He just doesn't care.
I couldn't care about Christopher Robin.
I ain't reading that. I don't care what Christopher is. I'm going to go with you guys because it's boring here, but I really don't care. Find him, don't find him. It's what it is. You learn a lot from Winnie the Pooh, Angel. You really do, man. But this Vegas thing is interesting because, you know, what was it, like 2 months ago, the Vegas mayor came out and said, yeah, no, we're good. Not on the Strip. Please, mm-hmm. Not on the Strip. There's a desert out behind us you can go play in, or just better yet, just stay in Oakland.
Well, like the district is set up weird. Like the Vegas Strip is, it's like its own district in Las Vegas, and then everything outside of it is something else.
Yeah, true. Everybody thinks Vegas is just the Strip, but the people live there.
Yeah.
They live there, they go to school, they work jobs, they have the time of their lives there. And they don't always just get up and go gamble.
Nope.
They have like regular lives there. It's crazy. First Advantage text line, 888 530 0043. Let's talk about the Rockies a bit, too. Also, I want to talk about the Nuggets. Aaron Gordon on that play. Let's get into it. You know, your thoughts on it. I tweeted at the time. I said, just such an unselfish play by Aaron Gordon late in the game. Game's tied. He has the widest open three I've ever seen in the history of my life. He didn't take it. He got it to the man instead. Good move, bad move. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Rockies for a bit, just briefly. We won't do that today. Tanner did that enough. It's the whole show. Powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Gordon, will he take the three?
Didn't want it.
He's better in the right corner. Not as good in the left corner. Jokic in the lane. Good!
All right, so there's the play I'm talking about. Late in the game, about a minute left or so, you've got, and there's Marlowe and Hastings on the call there, Altitude TV. We'll start doing the Altitude Radio clips, too. But you had Aaron Gordon wide open in the corner. Tied up, three-pointer, really puts the Spurs in a tough spot, obviously. And also makes sure, hey, a three's not going to win this thing. You know, they're going to walk off with a three and win this. Well, it wouldn't have been that close yet. I think it was just under a minute. Gordon has it. He looks up at the rim, kind of regathers himself, and then he looks again like he might take it. Then he goes inside, dribbles in, finds Joker. Joker gets a move, goes up, 2 points, Nuggets go up. Most people on my message board and stuff here, I've got Kay texting in. Aaron Gordon, smart play, take the high percentage play. Not just the glory shot attempt. Plus, burns a little more clock. Dixon said that's exactly what we need Gordon to do. I'm okay with him shooting the three in certain situations. But as I have said all along, he needs to recognize when it's okay and when it's better for him to defer to a better option. He hasn't always done that. Knowing your limitations makes you a good teammate. Yeah, he gets the three, though, in the game. You know, almost over. You got to make the stop still.
Yeah, I agree. That's his shot in the corner. If he's going to shoot a three, it's going to be from the corner.
90% of the time, he takes that shot.
Right. And I think it's just good basketball in that sense where this team doesn't have those egos where it's, you know, if that was an Anthony Edwards type of player or a star player like that, no, that's my shot. I'm taking it. But also, if a guy's going to leave you wide open in the corner, leaving you open because they don't think you can shoot, so yeah. Part of you is like, okay, well, I'm going to prove it to you.
Yep.
But I just don't think Aaron's that type of player. And it's, hey, Jokic is eating tonight. Let me get the ball to him.
Well, a lot of players too, Angel, like Gordon, who's not a pure three-point shooter, right? If you have to think about it, you probably shouldn't take it. You know?
For hesitation.
Yeah, and then you start doing that in your head. I mean, as quickly as that, as crazy as that sounds, those things do run through your brain. Like, oh, they're not guarding me. Oh, they don't think I can score. Oh, I want to prove it to him. Crap, I've wasted too much time. I got to go. Like, all those things do happen. It's a mental game out there, too.
Well, you in practice, you don't get a pass and wait for it. You get the pass and shoot. It's your rhythm.
What was the time? What time was
that? That was at 128 left
okay,
in the game.
Okay, so it was over a minute.
Tied at 103.
And again, yeah, he did the right thing with the time. You know, go take some time off the clock, give it to Joker, get the two. Spurs go down and score anyway. And then pretty much after that, you got Christian Brown cutting into the lane, and he makes the unselfish play and finds Michael Porter Jr., and they win the game. It's an unselfish basketball team that just won in an unselfish way.
Well, what's cool about Aaron Gordon, after he passes it, he doesn't just stay in his spot. He goes to underneath the rim to draw the other defender away, so it's just Jokic on wind.
Right. It's a smart team, man. I hope they can get Jamal back as soon as possible, but I mean possible in the way of make sure he's 100%. No, I know no one is 100%. Make sure he's at the highest percentage he could be before game one against the Suns or whatever.
So they are at the Clippers tomorrow, home against the Hawks, at the Jazz, home against the Timberwolves. That's going to be a back-to-back, those two. And then you're at San Antonio and at Memphis. I wouldn't project them to travel the starters in those last two on the road, especially if you're going to be at home for the playoffs anyway.
If you win tomorrow, do they shut it down? Because that ensures that you're top three. Do you shut Joker, Gordon, MPJ, and then just leave Jamal out? Do you consider that?
I would say limited against Atlanta, probably sit them out against the Jazz on the road, and then a dress rehearsal against the Timberwolves. Because that game still is going to matter in terms of tie-breaking.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree with... Here's what I'm going to give you. You want advice today? If you're doing any prop bets on Joker or anything like that, get it in tomorrow. Get it in tomorrow. Because I don't know how much longer those guys are going to be playing full games in the regular season.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Jamal's first couple of games back or even game back to be on the road.
Well,
I'd rather him be at home and just settle into it.
That's the other concern about Jamal being out, too, is like, does it mess with the chemistry? That guy, playoff Murray, that guy can turn it on.
No, and really, the chemistry when the five are on the floor is, I don't think it's really tough to mess with that. I think with Jamal, his role is more important when he's staggering with the bench.
And, that's true.
I still think they're balancing, is it going to be Reggie? Is it going to be Christian? Do we want to do a no point guard lineup where it's Christian's handling the ball most of the time? How is Peyton Watson going to perform in the playoffs in those pressure moments? We have to see. Are they going to go three or four deep off the bench?
30 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to step aside, take a quick break here. We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, get his thoughts on Warren Sapp at this stage, and just maybe pick his brain. You know, he's not going to say primetime's leaving or anything, but just pick his brain about Shador and Travis Hunter and all that. Johnson's coming up next, but first let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Spring is in the air. We got a lot of spring football going on with all the area teams, including those Colorado Buffaloes. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, joining us. And Mark, I know you're going to be pumped. Not for the football side of things, but the Lil Wayne concert, Mark. I know that's kind of your jam.
Oh, well, Lil Weezy?
Yeah.
Lil
yeah.
Tanucci? I don't know what any of that means. I just saw it written someplace. Oh yeah, that'll be a big, big part of my social calendar on November 27th. I guarantee you.
I just wanted to hear you say "Lil Weezy," Mark. That was it, and we can end it. We'll see you later. No, Mark. All right, so let's talk about Warren Sapp a little bit. This was a big, big story. Warren Sapp joining Coach Prime's staff at CU, of course, and talk to us about this move. I think we kind of thought it was happening because Warren's been around the program, and he's obviously very close with Coach Prime. So I wasn't shocked by it, but just now that it's official, kind of wanted to get your take.
Well, he's a graduate assistant, and, you know, so he'll be around the guys. He'll be on the field coaching, you know, under the guidance, if you will, off of, I'm assuming, the defensive line coach. And so, that's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, just another guy that has got an NFL resume. He's got a gold jacket. He's a Hall of Famer and a very dynamic personality. And so, it just brings a little bit more knowledge, I think, to that staff. And so, yeah, I'm kind of fascinated. In fact, I'm supposed to talk with him tomorrow, do a little interview with him tomorrow.
Wow,
so
cool.
I'm interested just to chat with him and kind of see what his thoughts are and what his goals are and why he's attracted to coaching and all those sorts of things.
Mark, obviously, you know, I've bragged on you and how great you are at your job and what you've done in your career. But still, isn't it – sometimes you just have to take a step back and go, holy cow, man. I mean, primetime, Warren Sapp. We're getting Lil Weezy coming here. And apparently he's popular with the kids. Like, all these big names, love them or hate them, just big-time names, big-time celebrity-type people, especially in the football world. Do you ever just take a step back and you're like, whoa, this has gotten strange, or maybe in a good way, but strange in the last couple of seasons?
Well, you know, it's doing this as long as I have. You kind of live in that world anyway, so you're around prominent people. And let me make it clear, they put their pants on just like you do, Brady.
Well, right? I mean, come on, Lil Wayne, man. Lil Wayne's pants are barely on there, Mark.
That's a good point. So, you know, it's just, you know, when you work in the business, as you well know, you're kind of talking to prominent people all the time, and so it's just, it's part of the deal. And so I don't think a whole lot about that anymore. Now, the, you know, what spills over on the rest of us, because Prime is Prime, and you know, every move he makes, there becomes, you know, headline news around the country. And so, you know, that certainly was something to get used to a year ago when it all began and throughout the season. And, you know, continues now. And so just being there when you do an interview, you know, and so tomorrow when I go to talk to, you know, Warren Sapp, okay, you know, great player. I've talked to a lot of great players, a lot of the best players in the history of their respective sports. But because of his placement within Prime staff, there adds another layer to it, right? And so it just becomes this interesting cultural phenomena that we deal with, that every single thing that he does becomes front page news and people seem to be fascinated by it. And, you know, this kind of falls in that category.
How concerned, and I know, Mark, you have to be careful with this anyway, but obviously we've talked about Warren Sapp and, you know, the last 10 years or so, he had a couple of run-ins with the law. We discussed that yesterday. We don't have to get into the details.
Yeah.
But is that something that is some sort of a concern, or is it almost the opposite of that, where it's like, okay, Warren Sapp, he admits it. He made some mistakes, and it cost him with the NFL Network. Is that something now he can use for these young minds and say, hey, you got to be careful here. I mean, if something goes wrong, this is what could happen.
Well, I think so. Any of us who have ever made a mistake, we can use that as a learning process, right? What's that old line, I never lose, I either win or I learn,
You
know? And so I think that's always a good mindset to have. And so, listen, you know, in terms of the decision to bring him on, that's way above my pay grade. Rick George and the administration dealt with that, and they felt comfortable with everything. And so, you know, fantastic. Let's move forward and see where the whole thing goes. But I would certainly have to think, and having never met him up to this point, but watching him, he's obviously a very sharp guy. And so I think he understands, you know, all this transpired, you know, where the missteps may have been, and all the things that he's gone through. And so I think he's smart enough to understand that's a teaching opportunity there that he can talk to young guys about. And so I think anytime you can, you know, I frequently, when I go, and you know this, I go out and do a lot of ministry work and I'll talk to men's groups. And I always tell guys, I don't have a lot of right answers, but I've got a lot of wrong answers I can share with you. And there's opportunity to learn from that. And so, you know, I certainly hope that's the case moving forward with Warren Sapp.
That's a great, well, very well said by you, Mark. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, joining us. I didn't get into this one with you as much last week. We were talking more about the transfer portal and all that stuff. It's amazing how
crazy,
you know, things
crazy.
Just change left and right. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Mark, a bit on Coach Prime talking about Shador, Travis Hunter, and the draft and where they might go. Well, it has some Buffs fans freaking out about that, thinking, oh, does that mean this is it? This is his last year, and then he's going to go join. He's going to try to get on wherever Shador is. I kind of just wanted to lay that out for you and let you devour it, Mark.
Well, who knows? I mean, people are always trying to read the tea leaves, right? And so every little thing, you know, I saw this morning, I don't know if it's true, Brian Howell had a story this morning that, you know, there were three or four women's basketball players are going to hit the portal, and one of them was his daughter. And all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up because people are panicking about that. And so, you know, who knows, man? All you can do is trust somebody at their word. And he has made so many comments about loving it here and wanting to stay here and wanting to be here for a long time and win a national championship here and all the different things he's talked about. And so, you know, as a fan, you measure that and you take him at his word and you hope that's the case. And, you know, I always figure in this business, you know what, ride that horse as long as you possibly can. And then whenever it does, you know, buck you off, you can jump out of the next one. But, you know, at this point in time, I've seen him say nothing that indicates otherwise. Everything that we've seen that fans seem to be reacting to is, like I said, kind of reading the tea leaves.
Yeah, it's difficult. Cause honestly, I am one of those guys that's in the middle. I go, you know, I could see him, you know, standing up and saying, hey, I said this, I'm going to commit to it, I'm going to see this thing through. And then there is the other part of me that's like, because I know how close he is. Well, I don't know personally, but we've heard, and you know this more than I do, but you know how close he is with his family, with his sons. So you could see that on one hand where he wants to go be a bigger part of that journey. So I'm with you. We're going to do a lot of this in the next year. every press conference, every game.
Well, the thing about it, Brady, is, I mean, at some point as a parent, and every parent, this would include he or anybody else, that you've got to let them launch, right? And so, I mean, jumping to the National Football League, Prime's never coached at that level. Doesn't mean he can't, but he's never done that. He's always expressed the idea that he never wanted to be in the NFL. You know, the NFL is kind of a very different thing. College is the coach's game. The NFL is the player's game. And so, one thing you normally don't see is a coach having a larger-than-life, larger-than-the-franchise type of personality. The only one that may come to mind, you know, Bill Walsh was so monstrous at one point in time. Recently Bill Belichick, with the Patriots. I mean, he was so big. But none of those guys were personalities that outshine players. And so, you know, I do wonder about that jump to the next level because – you know, in a league of stars, if you're out, shined by a management person, a coach, someone like that, that would be a very different environment and very antithetical to what the NFL has been all of its existence.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, joining us. Mark, when is the spring game? Late April, right? Is it the
27th?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait
a second. I thought you had already bought your tickets to Little Tanucci. I thought you'd already had
Well, I was hoping you'd hook me up, but I wouldn't have to do that, Mark. I've kind of just been waiting on you, to be real honest.
By the way, did you see they also announced on, is it Thursday night, they're having a talent show. So get yourself ready. You have to submit your 3-minute video, and you could get picked to be on that talent show as well at the event center.
What kind of anything? I mean, any kind of singing, dancing, you know?
Yeah, pretty much it. And if you juggle flaming arrows or something. I don't know. Whatever you think you can do that might be of interest to them, but they're doing a talent show that night.
I'm trying to think, and that's what's sad. Like, if I don't know what a talent – I don't have a talent. I can just sit here and talk, I guess, but that would get annoying, I think, Mark.
Yeah, maybe you could just go up there and do a nice, some sort of soliloquy or something, that Shakespearean, whatever, and see if maybe you might be able to, they're going to pay money too. Prime, the video Prime put out, said $2,100. Buddy, so that's going to grow. That's going to grow by the time we get there. So someone's going to make a good chunk of change from that. Yeah.
Let me think about it. When's the deadline on that, Mark? I mean, I might be able to pull something out here.
You know, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's happening on the 25th. I guess that would be. So I'd imagine you've got a week or so to kind of get yourself all figured out.
I've got to have talent somewhere, Mark. It's just going to take some deep thinking.
Ask your wife; I'm sure she'll tell you what your talent is.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure she will, Mark. Hey, I have a I'm seeking some professional advice here from you. I have to speak at my niece cousin. It's hard to explain. I have to speak at a graduation in a month. I'm sweating. I think about it all day, every day. I'm nervous. I'm not a good public speaker. Radio, all I have to do is stare at Angel. That's it, across the glass. But when I have to look out in front of people. So, Mark, I am gathering advice here. What do I do and how do I do it?
Well, the first thing is what you just said there might surprise a lot of people, but it shouldn't be surprising or it's not surprising anybody inside the business. Most people in the radio business do not like public speaking.
Right.
And I've always been the other way. I've always enjoyed public speaking, never had any issue with it. So when I got into business and thought, there was a station I worked at years ago. Every time they had a public appearance, they'd come to me and I'd say, well, ask somebody else every once in a while. They always said, nobody else will do it because they hate public speaking. So it's not unusual. That may surprise your listeners out there. Most do not like that.
Yeah.
I've actually got a graduation I'm doing coming up, I guess, late May, I think it is. But I better figure that out, shouldn't I? Here's the advice. Come up with something poignant, come up with something humorous, and then come up with something human. And I think if you cover three topics within your 15-20 minute address, it'll do very, very well for you, I think.
Mark, you just gave me more anxiety because everything I looked up was 10 minutes, and you're saying add 5, maybe 10 more to that? I'm gonna have to do some live reads or something and some
reads, man.
Or something.
I tell people all the time, I can't tell you my name in 10 minutes, right? I mean, I need 15 or 20 just to get rolling. So okay, well, in 10 minutes. But still, I think if you come up with, like I said, those three, humorous, poignant, and human, and I think Those are probably that's probably a good combination for a commencement address.
Angel doesn't know this yet, but I'm just going to bring him with me to the graduation, place him right in front of me, and I'm just going to talk to him. And then if I run out of things to say, we cut to commercial. I mean, that's the plan. So we'll see how that goes.
Just get up there and give those kids 10 minutes on what you think about the NIL and transfer portal. Right? then you'll be in your element. They'll be confused. They won't have a clue what you're talking about, but at least you get 10 minutes.
Mark, it's going to be, you know what? This is probably going to go down in history as the worst and the weirdest graduation speech ever. And if I know you're looking up yours to see where you are. If yours leads you to Burlington, Colorado, you can, we can carpool and we can just both go. We'll do it together. It's going to be like a duo graduation speech.
You know the great old line, I use this all the time when I speak. You know, they've done studies. The greatest fear in America, right? Poll everybody. The number one fear for people is public speaking.
Wow.
Number two is dying. And so think about that for a second. People would actually rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy, right?
Think how
crazy that is.
As we get closer to this, Mark, I don't know. I might start those caskets. I might drive by that cemetery and be like, that looks mighty fine right about now.
Let me give you a piece of advice. I used to tell my students this all the time. When you public speak, have you ever been in the crowd when somebody's speaking and they're really struggling? And you feel so unbelievably bad for them, right?
Yep.
Right? So the point is, when you're public speaking, everybody wants you to do well. It's a friendly crowd standing there, unless your arch enemy sitting out there, then he wants you to fail. But in normal cases, right, everyone wants you to do well, so take that as a positive, and then utilize that psychologically for yourself, that everyone here wants me to do well, so I'll do well.
Mark, all right, we'll see. I've written down all these notes here. I'm ready to go. We'll see what happens. I'll send you the video. You'll probably see it. Someone will video it, and it'll be all over the interwebs for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, if it's that bad, don't worry. TMZ will pick that thing up.
They'll probably already be there, Mark. They know I'll be out there. So,
yeah.
Mark, my friend, appreciate you. We'll look to catch up with you next week.
Look forward to it. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, Angel, I didn't tell you about this because I've been trying to put it away. But so she's my niece cousin because she's my cousin. But her dad is my first cousin, and he grew up with us. He was basically like a brother to me growing up. So that I have four siblings plus my cousin. So I have five, grew up with five siblings. And then, of course, he had kids. And so I always kind of like, they're my cousins by the law of the land, but they kind of feel like nieces. So she asked me if I would speak at their graduation. And you can't turn that down, right? You can't say no. You're not going to lie and say, oh, sorry, I got a thing that day. So I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I'm starting this. How do you start it? That's the thing. If I can just get it started. After a couple shots of whiskey and then
you,
after that.
I like those 3 points that Mark gave. For you, poignant. I'd probably start with the humor.
Okay, humor. Okay. Oh.
And then poignant.
Poignant?
Something a little real, something maybe a little like a struggle or something. And then you end it on a high with a human, positive, encouraging message.
But then he's going like 15, 20 minutes, bro. Everything I was seeing was like 5 to 10.
Well, you've taken every segment the last week, 20 minutes. So that's pretty easy.
That's easy. I don't have to see anybody. I don't have to see the disgust on their
just
face.
Just take the little clock with you.
I could. It won't go as fast because I'll be talking about stuff I don't want to talk about. Motivation and all that stuff. I'm seriously going to come in to start the graduation, and I'm going to be like, welcome into the whole show, everybody. Angel, did you have a oh, no. And that's how that'll end. 49 after the hour. Cody Tucker going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. All that and more coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. Love those guys. I think we're going to be hanging out with them Friday. I'm going to see the oldest furnace in Greeley. I'll just take a picture of it, man. Maybe just give it to me. It'll be in the bring it to an antique shop or something. Lemons Heating and Cooling. They are an HVAC contractor here in Greeley. Free estimates. I just mixed those words. Are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning, you name it. And Jerry Lemons, he's a good dude. I played flag football with him. You know how you can trust a guy? If you played flag football with him. He was athletic enough, you know, but he was good at getting those flags off, man. He was good at it. He was great at it. And, you know, a guy like that, trust him to fix your stuff. He's a great dude. Jerry Lemons. Lemons Heating and Cooling. 54 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What's going on with the Rockies, Angel? I mean, I'm not surprised necessarily that they're 1-5 at this stage. But I am surprised at how they are losing and the margin in which they are doing so.
Yeah, and it's, you know, majority of it is the pitching. Hasn't been great. Freeland, of course, yesterday gives up. Well, he personally didn't give up 12, but he gave up a lot.
A lot.
9 hits, 7 errors in his 3.1 innings pitched. So the fact that your starter's not getting into 4 or 5 innings is concerning. Because the Rockies, I've mentioned this, they're not a good enough team to where if you're down early, you can fight back in the last 6 innings. It's more of, we need to battle and keep this close for 6 innings and maybe pull it out in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And maybe that'll come later in the season when you feel better and you're more into the routine of it. But right now, they're just not good enough to fall behind early without getting completely demoralized.
Yeah, and this game was a little different than the first one for Freeland. Obviously, the numbers are still pretty rough with seven runs, and then allowed 2 home runs, and it was just the ERA went down. I think what 9.9 percentage points or something like that. But this was a spread out beating. he gave up 2 in the first, 1 in the second. He gave up 3 in the third, and then I think he gave up 1 more, and then that was when he got pulled in the fourth. Yep. Is Bud Black three and a half innings or whatever, 3 1/3 is not a lot, but is Bud Black going to get to the point where it's like, dude, you're on a short freaking leash. We'll play you in the second if we have to.
Well, I mean, that just doesn't really help. As the pitcher, you have to be able to show me you can do that, and, you know, in that type of situation where it's 2-1, 3-1, that's not awful, but if you're not scoring on the other side of it, it's almost insurmountable.
Yeah, I mean, you're down. They were down, what, 10-0 before the Rockies got their first run? And that's mentally, that's tough when you go to bat because you're like, no matter what I do here, we're not catching up. It's all about me individually. It changes the entire game plan.
Well, and the lineup has no rhythm to it.
No, it just doesn't. It just doesn't look right. Nolan Jones is better than that. You know, he's better than he was 2 games ago. Well, they're going to lose the series to the Cubs. Can they avoid the sweep? And how long is it going to be until they win their first series? Are we going to go 2 weeks? We're clearly going for a full week, but it's only been 2 series. So, again, it's early. When do you stop with that when it's early? When do you stop that? 20 games in? Final hour of the show. Buy or sell. Coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.